Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
A couple of announcements as we head into the beginning of this, our second hour tonight. Back on November 29th, that was our show two weeks ago tonight. My goodness, time flies, sometimes too fast. The last week we did have a good show, by the way, Alan Stang, Joe Sobrin. Big interview with Joe Sobrin we had last week. Two weeks ago, on November 29th, we had another big, well, they're all big shows. Dr. Thomas DeLorenzo, Kathy Shadle, Ted Nugent was on the show that week. But anyway, on November 29th, we made known to you and our listening audience about a very special offer that is going on until Christmas Day, December 25th. Keep in mind that as a token of our appreciation, during this season of goodwill and giving, we're offering a year subscription to the Occidental Quarterly as our Christmas gift to anyone who donates $100 or more to the Political Cesspool. The Occidental Quarterly is a must-read. We've been saying this for a couple of weeks now. We're going to continue to say it to Christmas. If you don't know what TOQ is, you need to check it out. The Occidental Quarterly is a must-read for any listener of the Political Cesspool radio program because it offers Western perspectives on man, culture, and politics that are written by many of the guests who are featured on our show. Again, this is our gift to anyone who donates at least $100 between now and Christmas. And quite a few people have already taken advantage of this offer. We're hoping that quite a few more will before Christmas Day. You won't regret it, but you must act before December 25th in order to get on board. And it'll make you feel good. I donate to this show all the time. It's a religious experience. I love donating to the festival. You should try it. It's so much fun. And then, and in addition to all the fun you'll be having, you will be getting... you never knew donating could be so much fun, did you? You're going to be getting a great magazine in return, the Occidental Quarterly, and kick the new year off right. Also, by the way, I know everybody's Christmas shopping right now. You can do some your Christmas shopping at a place where I have just bought some stuff, Patriotic Flags. Now, they just announced their new line of provocative T-shirts. Many of you already know and love Patriotic Flags. They've been a sponsor of this show off and on since our inception. They have a colossal selection of flags, including exclusive flags that are available nowhere else, like the Viking Raven banner and the Finland flag. Well, now our buddies over at Patriotic Flags are making T-shirts that celebrate our European heritage and culture. You'll love their best-selling Don't Tread on Me T-shirts. The new line of T-shirts that they have over there are they sport tasteful messages of pride for those of us with European ancestry. Most of the designs come on a real nice, trendy, slightly fitted, combed cotton jersey T-shirt, similar to what you find at a fashion store at the mall. And their website is patriotic-flags.com. So two websites for you to visit here before we move on to our next segment with Dr. Paul Gottfried. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and patriotic-flags.com. And if you have any money left over, spend it on your wife and kids. That's what we do. We're all about family here in the cesspool. You should know that by now. We love our families. God, family, republic. That's the order. That's the order. So go to church in the morning and give a little to the Lord, too. Man, I'm sounding like the government now. I'm spending everybody's money for them. But I'm not spending it in a way that I don't practice for myself. So at least know that. Well, we got a lot more coming up for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, as the political cesspool rolls on. And remember the call-in number, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. We're going to open up those phone lines in the third hour because we've got a lot of hard-hitting commentary and fodder coming for you. We want you to call in during that, our third hour. But second hour still to come. Paul Gottfried coming up right after this when the cesspool continues on RBN.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash. Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20th, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great-tasting Ready Reserve Foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today, 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our homestead collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Are you having fun yet? I hope so, because I certainly am. We're getting pretty fired up around here. Now on the line with us, the second of two guests tonight, a regular here. If this guy doesn't watch out, he's going to take the record for most all-time appearances on this show, Dr. Paul Gottfried. Of course, a man who needs no introduction, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Professor of Humanities at Elizabethtown College in Pennsylvania, a Guggenheim recipient. He is also an adjunct scholar of the Mises Institute. We just talked with the Mises Institute fellow in the first hour, and the author of numerous articles and 8 books, including Conservatism in America, Making Sense of the American Right, The Strange Death of Marxism, The European Left in the New Millennium, Multiculturalism and the Politics of Guilt Towards a Secular Theocracy, and After Liberalism, Mass Democracy in the Managerial State. Of course, I'm talking about Dr. Paul Gottfried. Dr. Gottfried, welcome back to the show. It's been, only a couple of weeks?
I was on about 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. Yes, it wasn't last week, of course, but 3 weeks ago. Great to have you back. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine.
Well, good to hear. I'm doing fine, too. Tonight, Paul, I know normally when you're on to talk about a specific topic, and we kind of exhaust whatever we're on
right
to talk about. Tonight, however, I wanted to pick your brain on a couple of different issues. So we're going to kind of bounce around a little bit and just have some fun with it. But we got into this issue with the first question I'm going to ask. When you were on 3 weeks ago, we got into this issue, and I wanted to explore it a little bit more, so we wanted to have you back on. I was asking you, are Republican partisans as dumb as they seem? Pat Buchanan's been on this show a couple of times, and in one of his appearances, I was asking him what's going to happen to the Republican Party if they don't start shifting some of their purported policies. And he said, quite matter-of-factly, that they're going to become a retirement home. What say you, Paul?
Well, I don't know whether they are as dumb as they seem, but I do know that of the two major political parties in the United States, they are the weaker, and they also, through most of my lifetime, have simply tried to keep up with the other party. They very rarely have set the agenda, the overall long-term agenda. And if you look at the social history of the United States over the last 40 years and the role that the government has played in it, we've definitely moved toward the left. I think this is an undeniable fact, probably from the 1960s on. And the Republican Party has usually acquiesced in the decisions of the Democrats, who one might describe as the more important of the two parties. It is the fact that it has done very little to reverse the momentum of change that the Democratic Party has initiated. Right now in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where I live, the retiring county chairman of the Republican Party deplored the fact that his outreach to minorities had not been more successful. The incoming county chairman promises to recruit more minorities or to increase the minority vote. Now, I really have no idea how the Republicans can do this unless they move at least as far to the left as the Democrats. It's, of course, absurd to maintain that minorities are unaware of the Republican Party. They're aware of the Republican Party, and they vote against it, even when the Republican Party runs minority candidates. But somehow the Republican Party feels either guilty or ashamed trying to appeal to its own base, which is largely a white Christian base.
Right.
They sort of take this base for granted. While they devote inordinate energy to trying to capture the base of the other party.
That was on display recently. Just what was it? This week, last week, Jeb Bush said, if we don't watch out, we're going to become the party of the old white man or something along those lines. And, you know, the current Republican strategy in play here, Paul, is they're trying to out-pander the Democrats for the minority votes. But, you know, non-whites have always voted for the party of bigger government, and as much as they might want to become that party, they're never going to be able to outbid the Democrats for these votes. And
that's exactly,
you know, talking about states like California. You know, California used to be a very conservative Republican state.
Right.
And the
only
way it's ever going to become that again is if they deport about 15 million illegal aliens, and that's pretty unlikely. Mm-hmm. Texas is about to go to the Democratic side in a few years as Mexicans become the dominant voting bloc. And when that happens, the GOP can kiss the White House goodbye forever. So do you think, Paul, and I know I'm a little animated here because it's just so absurd, but, I mean, are they ever going to, you know, come to grips with that? Listen, you know, if we're really serious about winning here, maybe we need to go after the only, you know, people that aren't being lobbied, and that's the majority. It just doesn't seem like a hard concept to understand to me.
Yeah, I think there are two factors at work. On the one hand, I think they have a very large patronage machine. The Republican Party, in order to survive, in order to do well as a patronage party, you know, has to have office so that it can expand the public sector on behalf of its constituents and it can provide jobs. And if they go on losing, they're not going to be able to play that role. On the other hand, I think there may be something more pathological about their behavior. And I think that certainly the Republicans that I run into are ashamed and mortified that they cannot reach out to minorities. In fact, they believe they're somehow racist or sexist or whatever, you know, unless the the feminists rally to them, unless blacks rally to them, unless Hispanics vote for the Republican Party. They feel ashamed of themselves, and they believe the attacks that are made on them as being a non-inclusive party, one that appeals to white Christians and excludes other people, despite the fact that the Republican Party has made strenuous, and not only strenuous efforts, but self-debasing efforts to pick up some of these minorities. And I think you're quite right. The only way that, you know, that they can hope to do this is by sort of outbidding the Democrats. It's not likely that minorities will accept them, even if they do that.
No, they won't. You know, they won't. It'll never happen. It just will never happen. And even if it did, what kind of country would be living in then? If they, if the Democrats were the conservative party as far left and as wacky as they are.
But
they were the more conservative of the two. I mean,
the other problem is they will not be a white male party anymore because they're going to lose that base. What has happened in my county is that on election day, a lot of those white males or white Christians stayed home and did not vote for the Republican Party.
Right, and I think some evidence of that was, if my figures are correct, and this is something that's very telling, I think, was that, you know, obviously a big state, George Bush winning Ohio. Well, if my figures are correct, I believe Barack Obama received less votes in Ohio than John Kerry did, but the difference was that McCain received far less than Bush did in 2004. And if those figures are accurate, well, obviously what that indicates is that the white Republican base didn't turn out, and they're going to continue to not turn out.
That's right. Well, I mean they that base still goes Republican, more Republican than Democratic, but the voters don't, the Republican voters do not turn out in the same numbers as they did in previous years. And
right.
I think this trend may continue. They simply won't come and vote. The thing that disappoints me is that one cannot be successful in organizing a third party which can take the place of the Republican Party and which can appeal to a conservative electorate. It's almost impossible to get rid of these two parties because they're so thoroughly institutionalized. They have public financing. And also right-left distinctions in the United States are always correlated to Republican and Democratic membership. That explains why Pat Buchanan, one day before the election, discovers the virtues of George W. Bush or McCain. because, you know, unless you are in one party or the other, you really can't establish yourself as a media presence.
Well, that's the million-dollar question then. What recourse does this, you know, as you said, the dominant majority here, the European American Christian base, what recourse do they have? I mean, do you think it's worth their time to try to go in and influence the Republican Party? I mean, the Republican Party is equally at least as corrupt as the Democrats.
No,
when it comes
I think it's
to
useless.
In discouraging true conservatives from being a part. I mean, what do they do?
Yeah, I have thrown my energy to the Constitution Party because
right.
I agree with about 95% of what they stand for. At this point, I agree with virtually nothing that the Republican Party stands for. And you know, people say this is wasted effort. It may be wasted effort, but it's also wasted effort to stay in the Republican Party.
No, I agree.
I
agree wholeheartedly.
Be
that's been my quagmire is that I don't know which way to go. I've gone both ways. I've tried to be involved in the Republican Party. I was one of Buchanan's agents in the Reform Party. So I've gone both ways, and both ways haven't had success. Just because I haven't had success and that there hasn't been success in recent years in either the Republican nor third parties doesn't mean that there never will be. But, you know, I'm waiting. I keep waiting for the light to appear. But that being said, just sit tight, Dr. Gottfried. We got to take a break. Very engrossing conversation we're in right now. We're going to pick it up right after these words.
Coming your way right after these messages.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
Well, I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash, Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20th, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great tasting Ready Reserve foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
Hi there. The Political Cesspool listeners are well informed and proactive. Have you heard much about the killer MRSA in your area? Here's some information I'll bet you didn't know much about. We've come across doctors who don't know. Visit 12diseases.com, where you'll find an ebook about how to protect your child from the 12 diseases your mother never told you about. Guard parent. Things like deadly MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, rampant in hospitals, schools, and clinics, or Chagas, known well south of the border, and many others we might have heard about, but think, we don't have to worry about that. This is not some encyclopedia or complex medical book. You'll learn quickly about 12 emerging or re-emerging diseases that have horrible consequences for the health and well-being of your children. It's written in a plain, easy-to-read format that anyone can understand. That's 12diseases.com.
And now, let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We're about halfway through tonight's broadcast, and I Paul Gottfried, I always love having him on. He can talk about anything, and he answers questions in such a way that always gets me fired up. I have a litany of questions for him, and I made it through one in the first segment. It was just so enthralling, though, talking about the Republican Party, how they've got it wrong in their strategy to remain viable. And, boy, have they ever got it wrong. Mm-hmm. Continuing on with Dr. Gottfried, thanks for sticking with us through the break. Paul, one of the things I noticed with the whole Sarah Palin phenomenon, it appeared as though the Republicans wanted to offer the illusion that they were trying to cater to their base, because, I mean, let's face it, Palin comes across as a very, almost populist conservative type of a candidate. She comes from Alaska. She's rugged. She's obviously pro-life and pro-family, pro-Christian, pro-Second Amendment, this, that, and the other. So, what was going on there? Do you think that whole thing was, in fact, just an illusion? And did you think that that was a significant backlash after some people got to know her through television and other media outlets, specifically in Pennsylvania, where you're from?
As a matter of fact, yeah, I think it is an illusion. If you investigate her positions more carefully, you discover the following things. As I pointed out in my newspaper column, which gets read in most of central Pennsylvania, number one, she likes Title IX. She likes anti-discrimination legislation passed for women. She likes having the state and the federal government push around private institutions so they accommodate their female base and do what they want. But, I mean, she's quite happy to use coercion for what she perceives as feminist ends. On foreign policy, she sounded exactly like the neoconservatives. I mean, to whatever extent she was prepped, because I don't think she knew very much about foreign policy. And on immigration, she's exactly like John McCain. She was not any kind of conservative on immigration, and would have been quite happy to sign on to the amnesty bill of George W. Bush. I think her conservatism, at least from our point of view, would be somewhat defective. But, you know, she was also put in a position where all she had to do was run around saying that I think John McCain is a great guy and he's a maverick. And when she did reveal something about herself, she really didn't seem very intelligent. I thought she botched that interview with Katie Couric very, very badly. So I think she was just a person put there to sort of win back the conservative base of the Republican Party without shaking things up very much.
Right. Again, hence the word we're using here, illusion, because they were at least cognizant of the fact that they needed someone who came across as, quote-unquote, one of them, or one of us, I should say. And so they put her on there because they knew that even though she might appear to be of the make and mold of the kind of people we would want representing us in politics, that she really wasn't. And so, again, you know, Paul, we only have a couple of minutes. It's a very short segment. But what is going to have to happen for our people to have a voice in politics?
Well, I think the first thing that has to happen is we have to be able to gain some kind of media presence. And by media presence, I mean the kind of presence now enjoyed by neoconservatives and liberals. And they're not going to cut us a break. You know, they're not going to put us on their shows, and we're not going to appear on NBC with Bill Kristol or on Fox News with the liberals and the neocons, because all those things are going to be closed off to us. But I think unless we can get billions of dollars and create our own alternative media, it'll be very, very hard to launch a conservative party or party to the right of the leftward drifting Republicans. In order to have any kind of political clout, we're going to have to have some kind of media presence that we do not enjoy at this point. Because the Republican Party is simply doing what the liberal media want in order not to be really clobbered by them, as opposed to just being, you know, cuffed around a little bit. And at the same time, they listen to the neoconservatives, whom the liberal media tell them is the conservative side, but a conservative side that is not very different from the liberal media. We have no presence. I don't see paleo conservatives on Fox News. I don't see them on Lou Dobbs. I don't see them on Glenn Beck or any of these other people. I don't see them on Buchanan. So we are going to have to work very hard to become a media force.
Now, I agree with you on that, and I think the media is the most effective enemy that we have, but it could also be our most effective ally. I mean, most people don't really have hardcore political beliefs one way or the other. They'll go with whatever's in vogue. They'll go with whatever TV or radio tells them to do. It's very important that those of us who are right-thinking, and I don't say that, you know, as a biased opinion. I just think it's a matter of fact. I think that which we advocate, that which you advocate, is what's right for all Americans. And I think we have got to develop a presence and win back some of these sheeple. Otherwise, you know, the greatest gift that has been given to the world, the American experiment, is going to be lost forever. And as a paleoconservative, I could sit here and bash the Republican Party all day long. But we got to go to another break. We're going to pick up and move over to more pressing affairs of state, Paul, when we return. Don't go anywhere. We're back right after this. 77 Sunset
Strip. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash, Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20th, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great-tasting Ready Reserve Foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today, 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, as I made mention of earlier in the program, a couple of times actually, the entire third hour is going to be an open mic hour. So we're asking for all of those who have tried to call in thus far in the program, just hold your horses. I want to talk to you during the third hour. I got a lot I want to bring to your attention. And if you've got any comments pertaining to any of the issues we've addressed already tonight, we're going to talk to you about all of that during the third hour. So again, that number is 1-800-313-9443 to get on the air at RBN. We're going to open up the phone lines at the third hour and give you 60 full minutes to let your voice be heard. Continuing on now with Dr. Paul Gottfried, and I tell you, my friend, you really got me going tonight talking about, I don't think there's a single issue I am more interested in than trying to understand what the Republican strategy is here and using what resources we have to accentuate the folly of it all. But you've come up with a pretty good description, building our own media. I think therein lies the key to a lot of this, and certainly that's what we're trying to do to the best of our ability on this program. But that being said, unfortunately, I want to shift gears here because there's a couple of things I want to ask you about with the time we have remaining together tonight, and it's about three or four different issues here in the last few minutes here, if you don't mind. I wanted to ask you this first. You know, trying to understand political trends in America is one thing, but you look over at Europe and they have a totally different system over there with varying degrees of success for those who would claim to share some of our beliefs. And one of the recent phenomenons I've noticed over there, and I want to get your opinion on because I don't know what's going on. Maybe you do. Why does the nationalist right in Europe, why are they using socialist and multiracialist language to try to convince politically interested Europeans to bar Turkey from joining the EU? What's going on over there?
I think they're totally crazy on the Turkish issue. As I've said, and I've written columns on this and so forth. To me, it is remarkable to meet members of the Flamsbelang or the Flamsbok who absolutely hate the European Union, who properly loathe the Belgian government for imposing multiculturalism on them, for destroying the cultural ethnic identity of their country, for throwing people in jail for making politically incorrect remarks, and then they turn around and insist that allowing Turkey into the European Union would destroy the democratic character of Europe, and the Turks are not good Democrats like the Europeans. And then they tell you, they give you an example, for instance, that the Turks would criminalize discussion of the Armenian, of the Turkish genocide of Armenians. Of course, you then point out to them that the French, the Germans, all the others will throw you in jail if you suggest the Armenians were not victims of genocide. They criminalize politically incorrect speech, too. The difference is that the Turks do it as an expression of nationalism. The Europeans do it as an expression of multiculturalism. So I actually have more respect for the Turks.
It's madness. You're right. I mean, and that's sad. It's a sad phenomenon. You mentioned Flamsbelang. We had some of those guys on here, by the way. It's a much fanfare.
They can't get their line straight. You know, I mean, if they want to be a multiculturalist and global Democrats and all the rest of the stuff, and if they think, you know, it's a good idea to throw people in jail for denying the Holocaust or denying the Armenian genocide in 1,000 or for making a homophobic remark, whatever they can throw you in jail for, you're fine. You know, you say, well, the Turks don't have these laws, so we won't let them in. But these are people who are on the correct side of all these issues. I mean, they've condemned all the things we would condemn. Then they turn around and they attack the Turks for not having a European-style democracy.
It's
utter hypocrisy. It's
well, hypocrisy reigns now. You know, apparently now everywhere around the globe, Europe, America. It's that's one thing we have in common, I guess. French nationalism. I want to ask you a question about that.
Mm-hmm.
Why is French nationalism less race based than other forms of nationalism, such as Japanese or German nationalism?
Yeah, that's a good question. The French right, including the Front National, really has no racial criteria. They just like the Arabs or the Arab Muslims, not Arab Christians, but Arab Muslims. They see them as a threat to the traditional cultural religious character of their country. But they're quite happy to accept a Sengalais or somebody from Africa who is culturally a Frenchman. I mean, they have no problem with that. There is, from what I can see, no real sense of racism among the French or even racial identity. Now, this is not true for other Europeans. I mean, anywhere in Eastern Europe, you find a very strong sense of what we'd consider to be racialism in the United States. But it seems to be pretty much absent from the French. This doesn't mean, by the way, that they're totally unprejudiced. They just do not, they just do not have any racial prejudices that I can determine.
Well, any chance of that turning around? I mean, do you think? Well, let me ask you this. Let me pose that question better. What I'm trying to ask is, I guess it's hard to compare America to Europe because Europe is certainly a collection of different countries with various cultures and different political philosophies, but. Do you think that America is in a better position to to turn the tide and go back to, I don't know, maybe a Jeffersonian way of thinking? Or do you think that the hope for a paleoconservative renaissance or a new right lies in some European country?
Oh, no, no. I think it lies in the United States. The United States is the pace setter. We are the most we're culturally and historically the most important nation on earth. The Europeans have gone bad partly because of our influence on them in the post-war period, certainly the Germans. All the bad American ideas of the 1960s took root in Europe and had even more disastrous effects than they did here. Europe is it's sort of tributary on American ideas. And I think if we can turn things around here, it will have an effect in Europe as well. I'm totally convinced of this. The other thing that bothers me about some paleoconservatives, and here I'll speak very honestly about this, is they really don't like the United States. They wish it were a Catholic country. They wish it were a Latin Catholic country. They really don't like its Northern European Protestant character. And it's too bad for them, because that's what the United States has been historically and culturally. And I think there's much to be said in favor of its historical character. But I think some paleoconservatives are so sick of the direction in which the United States has gone that they blame it on the Puritans, or they'll blame it on Martin Luther, or they'll try to look for some or medieval Englishmen, or, you know, they've really come to not only dislike the United States, they just really dislike its cultural religious roots as well. And I cannot say that I share those sentiments at all. Nor am I attracted to Europe today as opposed to the United States.
Right, right. Well, let me shift gears again here, because you're one of the most versatile guests we've had, and we've had a lot. If you don't mind, talk about the recent diversity of political thought that Victor Davis Hanson said is in play over at National Review.
Yeah.
What was he talking about?
Who are we referring to now?
Victor Davis Hanson. Yeah, I shifted gears. I shifted hard from talking of European political trends to the National Review. But so, pardon me for the abrupt change of pace.
Oh no!
Yeah,
I was
making note of
that.
Victor Davis Hanson over at National Review said there's a great diversity of political thought and play over
right. There's paleoconservatives and there's I don't know monarchists. Well, I mean, it's like the diversity that you see, you used to see in the German Communist Party in East Germany. They had a peasant party, they had a Lutheran party, they had everything, but they all just happened to sound like the Communist Party. I mean, basically what this guy is describing is some kind of phony coalition of forces, all parts of which sound exactly like neoconservatives. Because that is the only point of view that I ever find in National Review. Obviously,
absolutely.
That's not true. Actually, they do allow occasional Trotskyists to write for them. they had Steve Schwartz, who was a self-declared Trotskyist writing for them. They have social Democrats who are allowed to write for them. They do not allow people on our side of the political spectrum ever to write for them. So there is no diversity. I mean, this is a lie. It's a fraudulent misrepresentation of National Review that he engaged. Now, on the other hand, he may actually believe this is true. I mean, there are good paleoconservatives who agree with him, and they're allowed to write. All the other ones, you know, are obviously bad paleoconservatives. They're not allowed to write for them.
Right.
As far as I can tell, there is one party line at National Review, and it's a neoconservative party line.
That's putting it politely, I would say.
Yeah, there are some differences. Like, some Catholics write for them, and then you have Christopher Hitchens attacking Christianity, who can write for them. But they all agree on essential issues like global democracy, fighting wars for democracy, getting involved in wars in the Middle East, you know. Those are the important issues. I do not see too many, you know, anti-war paleoconservatives appearing in their magazine.
No, and any time I see such utter silliness, I have to bring up something like that on the show. I figure you'd appreciate addressing it because, I mean, something like that I see and, you know, my eyes pop out of my head, you know, when a guy can claim that there's a diversity of political thought at National Review. And when you just said everything that needs to be said. All I can do is echo your sentiment. But we have a few minutes left, about 5 minutes left. I want to be sure to bring this up because this is important. A little bit of good news here.
Mm-hmm.
You recently had the first meeting of the H.L. Mencken Club. I wanted to ask you about that, if you don't mind. Why did you form the club?
We formed the club because we were looking for an organization that would serve the intellectual right, by which I mean the non-neoconservative-controlled intellectual right.
Right.
And I think the H.L. Mencken Club can perform that function very well. And we drew about 75 to 80 people. We had an extremely good program. We had some well-known public figures addressing us. We had Charles Murray. We had John Durbridge. We had James Kurt, who was a brilliant scholar in international relations. We had Peter Brimlow spoke. We had a number of really good speakers.
Great.
And I'm hoping that we can double our enrollment for next year. Now, one of the problems is that we were infiltrated by somebody from the Southern Poverty Law Center who went back and attacked our group as a racist group. I am at a loss to find anything racist that was ever said, you know, discussed at that particularly on Friday night, which was the only time when this person came. But in the future, I think we'll have to be more careful about who comes.
Well, I got to, you know, the SPLC has been attacking this show for 4 years, mm-hmm. ever since our first month on the air. And, you know, to be completely frank with you, Dr. Godfrey, if you don't mind me saying this, I actually first read about the meeting on the SPLC blog. I have to go to it every day to see what my friends are up to.
Right,
and
right.
So they do serve a purpose, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this before I bring up the next question. I do think it's highly important. This is one of the areas I believe that paleoconservatives and paleolibertarians are just woefully outclassed when it comes to stacking up against the left, when it comes to organization. Mm-hmm. And community and networking. We absolutely have to have organizations and clubs with a purpose that are driven, that are issue-oriented and inspired to actually achieve things and make things happen and, you know, achieve, you know, reach goals. And there can never be too many clubs like this, which is why I was so excited to read about the formation of this club and the mission statement of it. And that being said, at the Mencken Club meeting, you gave an address entitled "The Decline and Rise of the Alternative Right," mm-hmm. which was later put online. What were some of the main points in that address, and how was it received?
Well, I think I was perhaps excessively critical. I seem to be excessively critical of the paleoconservatives of my generation because they were not very successful. In the end, and because they sort of fell out among themselves and quarreled a great deal. And I express the hope that the rising generation of the alternative right would be more effective than my generation. But at the same time, I exhorted them to learn what they can from the neoconservatives. Because, as I pointed out, although the neoconservatives are grubby, repulsive people, they are very good at networking. I agree with you. They're good at raising money, and they generally do not fight with each other. They cooperate to a remarkable degree.
Yeah, and whereas alternatively, our people, it seems like, and I use that term, you know, loosely, but I don't know really how to describe us other than that, you know, people who share these beliefs, the only people we like fighting more than our enemies is each other.
I mean, exactly,
that's got to stop.
Yeah, that is a very dangerous tendency, particularly if you are, as I said, we're all in a lifeboat together. And to people, you know, coming and hitting you in the head, you know, you're trying to preserve your life, it's a very, very bad tactic. But I think it is precisely, as I said, it's the orneriness, the contentiousness of our side, which has good, bad as well as good effect. I mean, the good effect is obvious because we fought on against the neoconservatives when they engulf the right.
Dr. Gottfried, I do not mean to interrupt you. I do apologize. We got to go to break. I'm going to ask you to hold on for four more minutes. We're coming up. We've got a quick segment coming up after the break. I'm going to give you the opportunity to close out and issue a summation. Just sit tight. James Edwards, Paul Gottfried, continue on to the Political Cesspool, ladies and gentlemen, right
after
this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash, Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20th, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great-tasting Ready Reserve Foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today, 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
You never know when an emergency will strike. Whether it's a hurricane, tornado, blizzard, or earthquake, everyone listening to me right now could find themselves without food and power with little or no advance warning. With over 14 years' experience, Ready Made Resources stands ready to assist you to be prepared. The Katahdin Vario Microfilter is a lightning-fast water filtering system that removes waterborne bacteria and cysts, and it also improves the taste of water. Ready Made Resources carries Mountain House Foods, the number one lightweight, compact, great-tasting food choice that you should have stored away as part of your emergency preparedness kit. There's free shipping on both of these items. For more information, go online at www.readymaderesources.com or call toll-free 1-800-627-3809. Ready Made Resources is here to help you be prepared.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johnglia.com.
Now let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the Political Cesspool Guys.
Welcome back to the show. I'm so worked up now, I'm not going to be able to sleep till Monday. That's the kind of show we bring you every Saturday night here on the Political Cesspool, 9 p.m. to midnight on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And we're here with Paul Gottfried. Dr. Gottfried, we have but a short segment here, so I'm going to give you the final word. But just to remind everyone what we were talking about before we went to the last break, I was commenting on how excited I am to see that you formed the Mencken Club, and I'm excited about the stated purpose of the club, and that's what we need more of, more networking, more cooperation, more organization, and we need a brotherhood. We need folks who adhere to our statement of principles to donate to the organizations who are truly doing a good job and are fighting the good fight. Because I don't think, I mean, as much as we've lost, as much has been robbed from us, I don't think that it is entirely a lost cause. If you look, Dr. Gottfried, at the Marxist who made up the Frankfurt School, I mean, how daunting a task was it for them in the 1940s and 1950s to make their long march through the institutions of education and entertainment and even the seminaries. And education and government. I mean, how hard was it for them to take, you know, in a society as relatively wholesome as 1950s America was, they came in with these crazy ideas of radical feminism and radical homosexuality, and this is the radical, discrimination that came with as a result of the civil rights movement. They came in, and they cleaned house, buddy. I mean, if they can do it, surely we can. And the question now is for you, what tactics of the left do we need to mimic in order to be successful? Because clearly they have a game plan that works, and right now we don't.
Well, okay. I would say that it is possible for us to make to win back lost ground. However, I think the neoconservatives, the Frankfurt School, all these people on the left enjoyed tremendous advantages over us, because the entire culture was moving left. We had a welfare state, and by the 1960s, the country was expanding its welfare state. It had been touched by the civil rights movement, by what seemed to be racial injustice. You had an intelligentsia that was seduced by communism, by all kinds of silly notions about social engineering and so forth. They weren't silly. They actually were effective. The left was able to take over the education system in the United States. For us, we have to come from a much longer distance to gain ground. But I think it is possible. The most important thing for us, and I know this sounds strange, but this is the conclusion to which I've come after considerable reflection on the subject, we need a lot of money. We need billions of dollars so that we can set up alternative networks.
Dr. Gottfried, again, my apologies. We have only 10 seconds. We're just going to have to have you back on to talk about prescriptions and solutions. We are flat out of time, but thanks so much for being on with us tonight.
Okay.
Really enjoyed it. Right. Take care, my friend. We'll be back with the third hour right after this, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Paul Gottfried, everyone, great guest. We'll be back with more right after this.
Coming your way right after these messages.
About what to buy your love.